I had a student one time who took the railroad across Siberia. He told me that sitting for long hours in the train, looking out over vast areas of space, both in terms of the land and the sky, he started thinking about life in general, the world in general. He got focused on the issue that so many people are corrupt. There's no need for the corruption, but people just go for corruption everywhere he looked. Everywhere he could extend his mind. So he began to feel trapped, even with all the vast expanses of space and time. He felt trapped in the human world. But then he realized he had the freedom not to be corrupt with everybody else. That was how he was going to assert his independence. And that independent choice became his first refuge. That no matter what everybody else did, that was corrupt and evil and short-sighted, he wasn't going to follow them. When we take refuge in the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha, it's the same sort of thing. You look at the world and it's a pretty discouraging place. But we do have this opportunity for refuge. And the act of taking refuge is an act of independence. That we're going to take charge of our lives. We're going to protect our goodness. Maintain our goodness. Despite whatever difficulties it's going to entail. So when you hear about the act of taking refuge, and we say it all the time, Bhutan, Thamang, Sangkang, Sarang, Gachami. It's not like little children running to their parents for protection. It's like an adult asserting his or her independence. Because what does it mean to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha? We look to them for examples. The Buddha found happiness. The members of the Noble Sangha have found happiness. What did they do? How did they do it? What qualities of mind did they depend on? We take them as admirable friends. And those we ask questions of those who are still alive. We ask questions of the recording teachings of the Buddha as well, about how they did it. And then we try to emulate their behavior. The case of the Buddha. His three main qualities were wisdom, compassion, purity. So we try to develop those qualities in ourselves. So from an outside refuge, it becomes an inside refuge. Wisdom, of course, starts with the question, what when I do it will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? What when I do it will lead to my long-term harm and suffering? You take responsibility for your happiness. You don't just hope for it to come passing your way like the weather. If you're going to be happy, you have to do it. As for compassion, it comes from the realization that just as you love yourself more than you love anyone else, other beings love themselves just as much. If you harm them with your actions or you get them to do harm, they're going to hate you. They're going to try to destroy your happiness. So to protect your happiness, you have to take their well-being into consideration. You have to sacrifice a lot of things that you may have wanted to do. So again, you're asserting your independence. You're taking responsibility. And then finally, purity. The Buddha taught purity to his son, Rahula, by having him ask questions about his behavior. First, about his intentions. If you intend to do something, do you expect that you'll harm yourself or others? If you do, you don't follow through that intention. If you don't expect any harm, go ahead. While you're engaging in the action, if you find that you are causing harm, you stop. If you don't see any harm, you can continue. And finally, you look at the long-term results of your actions. No matter how much you thought it was a good intention to begin with, a good action, but if it did cause harm, you're willing to never repeat that action again. You don't let your pride get in the way. You don't let your self-image get in the way. You're willing to learn. If you find that you did not cause harm, then you take joy and then continue practicing. In other words, you're happy with what you did, but you're not satisfied because you realize there's more. Again, this is being mature. This is being responsible. You take responsibility for your intentions and your actions and the results. So taking refuge in the Triple Gem is not hiding away. It's asserting your independence. Taking responsibility. So work on your wisdom. You might say, I'm not very wise at all, but you don't have to be wise to become wise. Just learn to recognize where you have acted in foolish ways. And reflect on how you don't have to do that. I think about a John Fuang. He was one of the wisest people I'd ever met. But as he told me very early on, when he started out, he wasn't wise at all, wasn't very smart at all. But he was smart enough to realize that the life he had, he'd been orphaned, raised as a temple boy, which is not a good way to be raised in Thailand. You may think temple boys are sweet and angelic. That's hardly the case. They're tough little kids. And for a long time living in the temple, he didn't really listen to the Dhamma. Around 16 or 17, though, he began to listen. He looked at himself, his life. Didn't show much promise, didn't show much hope. The only hope open to him would be to practice the Dharma. So he ordained when he reached age 20. And then he saw that the life in the temple where he was staying was not in line with the Dharma and the Vinaya. That got him discouraged. But then a John Lee came to town. And John Fung recognized immediately this is somebody he wanted to follow. So he tried out living the life of a forest monk as he could, even though as he stayed in his temple. He would eat only one meal a day, spend the day in the ordination hall doing meditation. At the end of the rain street, he and another monk decided to see if they really were up to forest life. They got as far as Khao Wong Kot, which is a little hill riddled with caves on the border between Chandaburi and Ryong. That was the point where the other monk said, no, I can't do this. But John Fung realized, one, he could do it, and two, his desire to do it was enough to overcome the difficulties of living a wandering life. So he went back and asked to ordain in the Dhammyut order. And John Lee arranged for his ordination. And then John Fung stuck with the John Lee for a long time. Did his best to observe what did John Lee said, what did John Lee did. And through his perseverance, John Fuang became more and more wise, using his powers of observation and reflection. There's a word that he used a lot, krai kruen in Thai. Reflect on things, think about it. As he told me, when an Ajahn does something, he has to have a reason. The Ajahn may not explain the reason, but you have to figure it out on your own. And it's in figuring things out that you become wise. And what are you trying to figure out? What, when you do it, will lead to long-term welfare and happiness? But you have to be circumspect. We'll need to translate the four bases for success. The fourth one, Wibingsa, is probably the hardest of the four to translate. And John Lee translates it as the Rob Cobb in Thai, which is almost literally circumspection, looking around. Do an action, Look at the results. Look at the results from many angles. So you're not one-sided, as John Lee would say. Be a person with two eyes and not just one eye. If you look at your actions to see, well, how can I tell myself that I did this right? That's one-eyed at the best. You want to look and see, is there still something wrong? And John Mahabua talks about living with a John Mun. You know, he'd be very earnest in taking on the different Tudunga practices. And a John Mun saw this as worthy respect, but also that it was a little bit one-sided. So there was one practice where you would not take any food that you hadn't received on the alms round. But maybe once or twice during the rains retreat, a John Mun would come over, put some food in a John Mahabua's bowl, saying, these people came late, have some compassion on them. Which actually broke Ajahn Mahabua's Tudunga practice promise to himself. But he began to realize, yes, Ajahn Mun saw that there was some pride there. And we're not observing the Tudunga practices for the sake of pride. We're doing it to cut away our defilements. But if the way you follow them does create pride, that goes against the purpose of these practices. You have to look at things all around. So when you judge your actions, you really do have to be circumspect. That's how you become more and more wise. Otherwise, you do something, well, that was good. You don't learn anything if you don't expect things. So you have to become more and more self-reliant. You can be with wise people, but if you don't learn how to ask the right questions, learn how to observe things in a circumspect way, you can be like the spoon in the soup. It spends its whole time in the soup but doesn't know the taste of the soup. You want to learn how to be like the tongue. As soon as it touches the soup, it knows the flavor. So refuge is not being a little child running to the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha for help. It means taking responsibility for your own happiness, being independent. Because you look at the world and everything seems to be going down, down, down. But not everybody's going down. And just because other people are going down doesn't mean you have to go down with them. They may drag you down in the sense of making things difficult. But then again, part of being an adult, part of being responsible, is not letting difficulties get in the way of protecting what is really of value. Your inner goodness, your desire to be wise, compassionate, and pure. You want those desires to be independent of what happens around you, and you want to maintain your desires. Sometimes you hear people say, people come to the practice full of ideals. They have to unlearn their ideals. There's a way in which that's true, because a lot of our ideals tend to be based on ignorance. But the ideal, wanting to be wise, compassionate, pure, you want to hold on to that. The ideal of wanting to be responsible, wanting to learn how to be independent of all the bad things going around you, hold on to that ideal. Because it's through that ideal that you find safety. And your goodness survives.